This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Scoring with the Wrong Twin by Naima Simone, performed by CJ Bloom. Chapter 1. No. Sophia Cruz lifted her coffee mug to her lips, took a sip of air, and frowned down into the empty cup. When had she drunk the last of Puerto Rico's greatest gift to mankind, otherwise known as Alto Grande Superior Premium Coffee? Shoving back from her desk, she ignored her twin sister who was perched on the end of the furniture, giving Sophia her best puppy dog eyes, complete with slightly quivering bottom lip. "And you know that!" She drew a circle in the air in front of Giovanna's face as she passed by her toward the one-cup coffee maker. "Isn't going to work on me. I taught you that trick." Giovanna sighed, losing the woe-is-me expression. "Fine," she huffed, flipping her long dark brown hair over a bare shoulder. "But Fee, I seriously need your help. Pretty please?"
"Hell to the no," Sophia reiterated. A press of the button, and the brew started streaming out of the machine with a hiss.
The strong, heady aroma of ground coffee beans drifted upward, and she shamelessly and noisily inhaled.
"Damn, that smelled good."
"Fee, this is more important than your next caffeine hit. God, can you at least pay attention?" Exasperation dripped from Giovanna's voice, but Sophia didn't turn to face her sister until the last drop hit the cup. Molding her fingers around the ceramic, she turned, and arching an eyebrow, peered at her identical twin over the rim. Identical. Ha! They might share the same Puerto Rican heritage, eye and hair color, facial structure, height, and body type, but that's where the similarities between them came to a screeching, skid-marked halt. Giovanna was all elegance and sophistication, with her expertly applied makeup, perfectly styled hair that framed her face and flowed over her shoulders, and an emerald romper that seemed to glow against her honey-toned skin and display her long, slim legs. As opposed to Sophia's cosmetic-free appearance, blue-tipped dark hair snatched up in a haphazard topknot, and the white wife-beater and ripped jeans she might have also worn yesterday. Giovanna wore rings on her fingers and toes, and Sophia wore them in her eyebrow, bottom lip, and, other body parts. Her twin preferred art on her apartment walls. Sophia loved it inked into her skin. Nope. It wasn't hard to guess which twin was the model and which sat at a computer developing apps at FamFit for a living. And yet, for all their dissimilarities, Sophia loved Giovanna, and there was no one closer to her in the world. For 24 years, literally since the womb, Giovanna had been her best friend. Didn't mean her younger sister by 3 minutes didn't ride her damn nerves like Lance Armstrong on a Trek mountain bike. "Fee, this is for the House of Bianchi. The House of Bianchi! One of the hottest designers on the planet, and they want me to walk in their show. I can't turn this down. It's the most important job of my career so far." Sophia shrugged. "So, go." Giovanna released a loud, long sigh that translated to, "God, please give me the patience not to strangle this bitch." Twinspeak. A wonderful thing. "As I've been trying to explain, I already have a previously scheduled shoot with Sports Unlimited a day after I'm supposed to fly out to Milan. I can't be in two places at once." "Not unless you want to dissolve into a gelatinous glob of goo before bursting into tiny particles." Sophia sipped her coffee, then frowned. "No, wait. That's only if you occupy the same space and time. My bad.
I'm not going to comment on your obvious lack of understanding of the space-time continuum this one time, because I need you. But fair warning, if I didn't, I would definitely advise you on the nil-to-none odds of you ever getting laid if you insist on spouting the flawed issues of the paradox in time travel. Sophia gasped.
You bitch! You've been watching Back to the Future and Time Cop without me, she accused.
The two of them might not agree on piercings, tattoos, or who was the hottest member of the Avengers. Iron Man, of course, although Thor ran a close second. But they shared the same obsession with 80s movies. Giovanna rolled her eyes.
There was a marathon on TV the other night. I wasn't going to miss Marty McFly trying to avoid sexing his mother for you.
Ew. Sophia screwed up her face. Her twin sighed.
Focus for a minute, please. Back to me?
Nope. Sophia shook her head. I don't want to focus, because my answer is still no.
Uh-uh. Forget it, chica.
Not gonna happen. And for when you get to Milan, I believe no is the same in Italian.
Fee,
her sister whined, but Sophia cut her off with another firmer shake.
No way! What you're suggesting is ridiculous. Just cancel the other shoot if the one in Italy is so damn important.
I can't, Giovanna said, pushing herself off the desk. She paced the width of Sophia's small home office. Even frustrated, she still maintained the sultry prowl that had captured the notice and representation of her New York agency. Sophia couldn't imitate that strut, not even if Steve Jobs' ghost pulled a Jacob Marley and returned from the dead to offer her the corner office at Apple.
I committed to the Sports Unlimited shoot a year ago. It's their annual Sexiest Athletes edition. And not only is it too short notice to notify them, but it would be unprofessional to bail at the last minute. It only takes one mistake to be blackballed in this field, Fee. I've worked so hard to get where I'm actually requested by clients and photographers. But I'm not Giselle Bundchen. I can't afford to screw up either of these opportunities. Which means I have to make both of them.
Damn it, Vanna, Sophia growled, setting the mug down behind her. She swept her hand over her hair, fingers bumping the topknot. No one more than she knew how much Giovanna had worked in her chosen career. Some people might think being a model was frivolous or shallow, but since Giovanna was 13, she'd set her heart on being the next Adriana Lima or Arlenis Sosa, and Giovanna had directed her single-minded and sometimes intimidating focus toward her goal. In the last 2 years, she'd started to gain fame in the United States, booking more jobs, appearing on more covers, walking in more runway shows. Sophia admired her sister's grind and determination, celebrated her success, and she would do anything to support her, but this. I can't just take a day off work. You know Brian is on me 24/7. He's just looking for another reason to write me up. Another reason besides her objecting to him claiming credit for her work, refusing to kiss his ass, and being a woman. Her supervisor was a real charmer, but if she ever wanted to open her own app development company one day, she had to deal with the bullshit at FamFit, at least until she earned enough money and nerve to strike out on her own.
The shoot is in a week. If you ask for a vacation day now, even he can't say no. Giovanna countered.
Sophia groaned.
What you're asking is impossible.
Like a predator sensing the weakening struggle in its prey, Giovanna drew to a halt mid-pace and rushed over to Sophia.
No, it's not. We're identical twins, for Christ's sakes. No one would be able to tell the difference.
Are you serious? Sophia scoffed.
You're...
She waved a hand down her sister's elegant figure.
You! And I'm... me.
She didn't go into further detail because, hell, there wasn't any need. Some things were just self-explanatory. Still, she tried.
Anyone would take a look at you, perfect hair, perfect figure, and immediately tell I'm not you.
Supermodel Joan Smalls, she pointed at her twin, then jabbed a thumb toward herself.
Igor.
Oh, please. Giovanna flicked a hand as if swatting away her words. Put on some makeup, remove that hardware from your face, and add hairstyling. Her eyes narrowed on the thick mass on top of Sophia's head. Hell no, she objected, grabbing the loose bun as if she could protect the strands from her sister. I'm not getting rid of the blue, not even for you. I might even love it more than you. Giovanna smiled, and Sophia smacked her palm to her forehead. If she was already talking in terms of what she wouldn't do, then she was already halfway to relenting. And from the satisfaction in Giovanna's grin that could only be described as cat who ate the whole damn aviary, not just the canary. Her twin had caught the slip. Oh, I'm sure we could make it work, she purred. Oh, shit, Sophia muttered, closing her eyes. She'd just capitulated without even a valiant fight. Just shit. Okay, fine, she surrendered on a low groan. I'll take your place on the sports shoot. Fee, thank you, thank you, Giovanna squealed. And it won't be that bad, I promise. It's not until next week, so I'll give you a crash course on what you need to know. Hell, you might find you enjoy it. Giovanna hugged her tight, squeezing the breath from her. Thank you, she whispered. So much. I owe you one. Oh, shut up, Sophia grumbled, returning the embrace. Good God in heaven. What the hell had she just agreed to? Chapter 2. 1 week later, sitting in a director's chair while a woman with hair the color of a sunset caked what felt like a shitload of foundation on her face, Sophia repeated the same question to herself. What the hell have I agreed to? It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She should still be in her office at FamFit, working on their latest fitness app they hoped would give Fitbit a run for its money. Instead, she'd been in this Belltown photography studio since 2 in the afternoon, submitting to the handling of makeup artists, nail technicians, and hair and clothes stylists. Maybe most women would call this pampering, but not her. Torture. Enduring the slow dripping of water on top of her head might be worse than this, but not by much. Christ. How would she let her sister convince her to do this? It's a simple shoot for Sports Unlimited's annual Sexiest Athletes edition, Giovanna said. You'll be great, Giovanna said. This was crazy. Beyond crazy. Complete lunacy worthy of a stay in Arkham Asylum. I don't know what made you decide to color your tips blue, but I love it, Delia the hairstylist praised as she wound another lock of hair around the wide barrel of ceramic curlers. They will look fabulous against the jersey. And the tattoo, Mona added, glossing Sophia's cheekbones with a big brush. What happened, sweetie? Man trouble? She shook her head, the huge auburn and gold afro quivering around her pretty face. I almost covered it up, but then I thought it will look gorgeous with the outfit. Sophia heard the rest of their conversation as if through a thick layer of cotton. Holy shit. Since the peacock tattoo wrapped low around her left hip bone, what the hell kind of outfit did Sheila have planned? When she'd gotten the ink 2 years ago, it had been for her, not a man. The peacock had seemed the obvious choice. Vision, guidance, protection. The purpose hadn't been to flaunt it in front of God and country. Oh, Jesus. This was a mistake. Just a few more touches, Mona murmured. A very short time later, she stepped back, surveying her handiwork. A wide smile stretched her vibrantly painted mouth. Beautiful. I'm just about done, too, Delia announced, carefully setting the curlers on the stand next to them. She ran her fingers through Sophia's hair, twisting here, tucking there, before finally cupping her shoulders and turning her toward the lighted mirror. Sophia sucked in a breath. The woman who stared wide-eyed back at her was stunning. Big loose waves tumbled around her face, emphasizing brown eyes that had always seemed average. Now, rimmed in black eyeliner and gold eyeshadow, they appeared darker, mysterious. She suddenly had cheekbones that would have made Kerry Washington grind her teeth in jealousy, and a dark red tint added a lushness to her mouth that almost embarrassed her. This was the mouth of a woman who owned her sensuality, reveled in it, and liked to be kissed. A lot.
Speechless, Delia snickered. We must be damn good at our jobs.
Yeah, they deserved medals of valor, because for the first time in her 24 years of being Giovanna Cruz's twin, Sophia actually felt as beautiful as her flawless sister.
Here we go.
Sheila, the clothes stylist, materialized behind them, holding up a child-size blue, white, and black jersey with the number 88 emblazoned on the front and... She stared at the tiny piece of black cloth that could have generously been called shorts. Very generously.
I'm going to kill you, Giovanna.
Come on, hun, Sheila urged, gripping her elbow and propelling her out of the chair.
We don't have a lot of time.
Standing on rubbery legs, she moved behind a partition and wriggled into the shiny booty shorts, muttering under her breath, and swallowed a groan. The black clinging material rode low on her hips, and the colorful bird rose above the band like a vibrant painting. But the hem of the shorts barely cleared the bottom of her ass. If she bent over, everyone would be a season ticket holder to her See You Next Tuesday.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
Shaking her head, she reached for the jersey, held up the crop top. She peeked around the edge of the partition, careful to keep her bared torso hidden. Is something supposed to go underneath this jersey?
Like a turtleneck?
Of course, Sheila said, tisking. I totally forgot. The stylist snatched a hanger off the rack and handed it to Sophia.
Here you go.
Dumbfounded, she stared at the black bra-style garment. The, oh, hell no, quivered on her tongue, like a notched arrow ready to fly. Giovanna wouldn't have a problem wearing this, and for today, you're Giovanna. And sex sells. The reminder didn't erase the first razor-tip nails of panic from clawing at her throat. In that moment, she was transported back years ago to a high school girl's locker room where, naked and humiliated, she'd gathered her soaked clothes from the shower floor as a group of girls taunted her about her fat ass and dimpled thighs. The shame and helplessness swamped her. And for a long second, she froze, powerless against the ferocity of that memory, once more the heavier, uglier Cruz twin. That time in the shower, surrounded by jeering, snickering, mean girls, had also been the last time she'd been naked in front of anyone. Even during sex, she wore a t-shirt or insisted on the dark. And for all the skin the midriff-bearing jersey and brief shorts revealed, she might as well be naked.
God.
Briefly closing her eyes, she shuddered. She hadn't been prepared for this emotional backlash when she agreed to her sister's charade.
Man up, girlfriend. You're not that awkward teen anymore. They didn't break you then, and this skimpy outfit won't today.
Minutes later, jersey on, she inhaled a deep breath, pressed her palms to her belly, and straightened her shoulders. Ordinarily, she wasn't a praying girl. Easter and Christmas Eve Mass were more her speed, but today, she sent up a quick Our Father and followed up with a Hail Mary just to cover all bases. Showtime. The cool air of the studio brushed over her skin, raising goosebumps over her arms and legs. The squirming in her stomach hadn't ceased, but she smoothed her face into an impenetrable mask, another inheritance from high school, and followed Sheila down a short flight of stairs and into the main part of the studio. Huge floor-to-ceiling windows took up one wall, and the afternoon light bathed the wide, open space. Her bare feet slid across the cool, smooth hardwood floors, and she ordered herself not to wrap her arms around herself. WWGD? What would Giovanna do? That was her mantra for the day. Cameras, tripods, chairs, laptops, people. How many did it require to take pictures? And huge white umbrella-looking stands littered the area. Carefully, she picked her way through the maze of cables, extension cords, and power strips, as if they were a nest of reptiles ready to strike at her ankles. Sheila paused at the edge of the organized chaos, and Sophia followed suit, mentally flipping through the poses her twin had taught her in a modeling crash course. Hips tucked, back arched, smize. She absently glanced at the huge backdrop dominating the wall. Ay, que papi más lindo. That man. What a beautiful hottie. He was huge, like titans roaming the earth making mountains tremble. Huge. Well over 6 feet, and probably closer to 300 than 250. He and his shoulders seemed to dwarf the wall behind him. Tautly corded arms hung loosely beside a wide bare chest, and a 1-2-3-freaking-4-rung ladder of ridged abs. A V only the truly ripped or photoshopped sported cut above his hips, arrowing beneath a tight pair of black football pants that clung to a pair of thick, heavily muscled thighs. Large bare feet she could easily picture smashing small villages, were braced almost arrogantly apart. She used to spend hours watching Fred Flintstone powering his prehistoric car with his feet, and that part of the body had never been particularly sexy. Until now. With a struggle, she shifted her gaze upward, and it snagged on the miles and miles of gorgeous caramel skin. And not just any caramel. Salted caramel. Rich, smooth, honey brown. Yummy. And covered in a palette of ink. Mesmerized by the rich, beautiful art, she inched closer, eager for a closer look. Bold black tribals, snarling black panthers, fierce angels with flaming swords, flowing script. The tattoos flowed up his arms over his shoulders and across his chest. More beautiful calligraphy ran down the sides of his torso and spanned the bottom of his stomach, disappearing into the low band of his pants. He was... Wow. She had no idea who he was, but he definitely got her vote for sexiest athlete. She caught a sigh that wormed its way up her throat. Or maybe she didn't, because his attention shifted away from the photographer in front of him and toward her. This time, she couldn't hide the swift intake of breath, was too stunned to try. Jesus H. Christ, he was gorgeous. No, no, that sounded too superficial, too shallow. And his face of sharp, defined angles, shadowed hollows, and stark yet patrician lines spoke of strength. The dark hair that dusted his jaw and surrounded the almost lush fullness of his mouth damn near shouted of a carnal sexuality that had heat curling low in her belly, like an undulating plume of smoke. And those eyes, amber and green with flecks of gold, an eagle's eyes. A predator's eyes. Her heart thudded against her chest, and she stiffened her legs. Sprawling out on the floor like a pagan sacrifice eager to be devoured would probably be frowned upon. Probably. Good. You're here. We're ready for you, Giovanna. The photographer lowered his camera and handed it to another person standing behind him. For a moment, she didn't move, couldn't move, totally ensnared by the golden gaze that hadn't released her yet. Then the photographer's words penetrated her lust-dense stupor, and she flinched. Right. He was ready. For Giovanna. For her. God, I promise if you get me through this without embarrassing myself, I'll start attending Mass more than twice a year. I'll stop lying to Mama about her arroz con pollo and quit thinking evil homicidal thoughts about Brian. But I'm gonna need you to increase my faith on that last one. I mean, he's a complete douche. Oh, shit. She mentally slapped a palm to her forehead. Calling her supervisor a douche in a prayer had to at least be a venial sin. Uncertain whether she had God on her side or not, she forced her mouth into a Giovanna-like smile and stepped forward, closer to the beautiful Titan. She risked a peek at him, and once more became instantly ensnared by his intense, multi-hued stare. This close to him and that piercing scrutiny. One thought reverberated in her mind like a foghorn echoing over the Puget Sound. The gig is up. No one else had sniffed out the imposter in their midst, but he seemed to peer underneath the makeup, the poofed and curled hair, and the skimpy outfit to the gangly shy, fashion-oblivious nerd beneath. Would he rat her out? Demand to know who she was in front of everyone? Hell, she'd failed Giovanna even before one click of the camera. But he remained silent, and more importantly, he shifted that eagle's gaze away from her and back to the photographer. Relief coursed through her, but that relief didn't last, because as she neared the giant in tight pants, her skin pebbled almost to the point of pain. Heat washed over her like a tidal wave, and those tap-dancing nerves erupted into a full-out samba, up and down her spine. She didn't have the courage to glance down, but no doubt her nipples were on full display against the flimsy jersey. Damn things. Stepping close, she gathered the remnants of her rapidly fleeing courage, skipped her gaze up his chest, and... was that a dime hanging from a thin chain around his neck? Voluntarily met his eyes. Hi. Ay, Dios mío. Hi? She needed to get out of her basement office into the corner bar more often if that was the best she could offer.
Hello, he replied. Nice seeing you again, Giovanna.
Molasses. Warm, dark, thick. The deep timbre, heavy with the flavor of the South, slid over her exposed skin like a caress to her senses. She'd never had the pleasure of visiting Louisiana, but she'd bet her DVD of 16 Candles. That sexy drawl came from there. Then the name he'd called her penetrated. Giovanna. But for the first time since embarking upon this ill-conceived farce, excitement spiked with recklessness skipped through her veins. That's right. She was Giovanna Cruz, confident, gorgeous, and an up-and-coming supermodel. For today, at least, Sophia Cruz, antisocial app developer, 80s movie hoarder, DC and Marvel comics geek with a sweets addiction, had been locked away. Giovanna wouldn't have a problem touching the Titan with the salted caramel skin, eagle eyes, and sun-warmed molasses voice. Wouldn't see an issue with palming those muscular biceps, draping her arms over those wide shoulders, or pressing herself against that hard, big body. Nope. It was part of the job. And for the next few hours, part of her job. Anticipation and a whole lot of inappropriate lust fluttered in her belly. Oh, hell yes. Chapter 3. When Zephyrin Black left his grandmother's home in New Orleans for college at Louisiana State University 10 years ago, she'd sent him off with 3 pieces of advice. 1, wrap it up. Josephine Felice Black was too young to have grandbabies. 2, go to class and get your education. Josephine Felice Black also didn't raise no dummies. And 3, whether he had a football in his hand or not, he would always be Josephine Felice Black's oldest grandson, so he'd better act like he had sense, mind his manners, and like the good Lord, don't disrespect her family's name. She'd doled out other gems along with those main 3, but nothing in her seemingly bottomless repertoire had addressed how to conceal a boner when a gorgeous woman pushed up against you during a photo shoot. Clenching his jaw, Zeph locked down the groan that shoved its way up his throat. With the focus and intensity that had earned him the title of All-Star and Pro Bowl tight end for the Washington State Warriors, he concentrated on the whir and click of the photographer's camera. As a 6-year veteran in professional football, he possessed the art of blocking everything out but the goal down. This wasn't his first shoot. It wasn't even his first shoot for Sports Unlimited, a magazine that was a cross between Sports Illustrated and Maxim. Being a popular player for his team, and in the league, had garnered him endorsements and ad campaigns that had required hours in front of a camera. This was old hat. Giovanna Cruz arched her back, her head pressing into the crook between his shoulder and neck. The blue, black, and white jersey with his number stretched across the front, barely covering her small but firm breasts. Her long, dark hair with its surprising and sexy as hell, bright blue tips, draped across his chest, the strands caressing his skin, the flower and fruit scent teasing his nose. Her fingers splayed across the top of his thighs, fingertips subtly flexing against him as if testing the muscle. Hell, was she even aware of the little hum she made every time she touched him? And her ass. Jesus Christ, he had to think of something, anything else, besides her ass notched up against his cock. Frolicking puppies, the smell of the warrior's locker room after a grueling practice, his last conversation with his grandmother about her keeping company with Deacon Bossier, and the loud, lascivious snicker that had followed the announcement. Yeah, that did it. Erection killer. Slowly relaxing his muscles, he released a low, inaudible breath. He and his dick were going to have a serious come-to-Jesus talk about professionalism. After hours of organized team activities, or OTAs, his body should have been tired. Even without contact drills, the late June meetings, watching tape, training, and running of basic technique drills still had him yearning for a couch and a remote at the end of the day. But energy coursed through him like a live wire, stringing him tight, and he didn't need to risk a glance down to recognize why. "Do you mind if I try a couple of different poses?" Giovanna asked Gerald, their photographer for the day, her voice a husky, low timbre that reminded him of pure sex, of the hoarseness that resulted from a goddamn perfect mouth-fucking. His cock twitched behind his pants, obviously agreeing with his mind's train of thought. Gritting his teeth, Zeph forced his body under control. The last thing Sports Unlimited or the PTB of the Warriors organization wanted was him on the cover of the magazine, sporting wood. "It's all yours," Gerald replied, momentarily lowering his camera. "Go for it." Straightening from her pose, she turned to face Zeph. Her teeth worried her full bottom lip, and he clenched his fist to prevent himself from freeing the tender flesh and rubbing his thumb across the lush curve, soothing it, soothing her. She lifted her chin to meet his gaze with eyes so deep a chocolate brown. He couldn't smother the sudden craving for the rich, strong chicory coffee so popular at home. Dark, exotic, beautiful. And if he didn't know any better, uncertain. Impossible. This wasn't his first time working with Giovanna Cruz. And there were several things he'd call her. Stunning, aloof, professional. But uncertain wasn't even included in the top 25. She'd radiated confidence. He frowned, already lifting his hand to cup her hip, ask if something was wrong. But then she smiled, erasing any hints of insecurity, and his common sense decided to slap the shit out of him with a reality check. This woman had posed for Maxim in what could optimistically be called a bathing suit. Whatever he imagined he'd glimpsed must have been a result of lifting too many weights and not enough water. "Do you mind?" she murmured, shifting so her shoulder pressed into his chest. "Can I get a lift?" She treated him to another small smile, and once again, his apparently delusional mind whispered, "Shy." But that was as ridiculous as his uncertain observation. In lieu of answering, he wrapped an arm around her thighs and, bending his knee, hiked her slight weight into the air. "Thank you for not groaning," she teased. And without questioning where the impulse originated, he released a grunt, as if he'd just blocked a 300-pound linebacker from going after his quarterback. A snicker sounded from above him, and for the first time ever in a photo shoot, he had to fight a smile. That thought sobered him. That and the whole lot of, "What the hell?" Then he wasn't thinking anything at all. Not with her arranging her body over his shoulders like a graceful, slinky feline wrapped around his master's neck. He stiffened, shocked but also conscious of granting her all the support she needed, with the arm around her thighs and a palm bracing her shoulder. Her movements exhibited no tentativeness, no hesitancy, as if she trusted him not to let any harm come to her. And fuck if that didn't send an inferno of heat whipping through him. He couldn't see her, but he felt the curve of her hip settle on his left shoulder, and the side of her breast nestled on the opposite shoulder, a fact he actively tried to block out. A slender arm curved under his chin, and a hand cupped his cheek. Thick strands of hair tumbled against his face, and he inhaled the scent of the dark, loose curls. In his mind's eye, he could easily picture how the camera would capture them. Her, curled around his shoulders, her head bent forward as if getting ready to take his mouth. Jesus, this shoot had turned into a torturous, hot-as-hell form of foreplay. A woman wearing a short black apron with brushes, combs, and other tools tucked into the many pockets rushed onto the set. Holding up a wide-toothed comb, she pinched a lock of Giovanna's hair.
"Let me just move this."
"Leave it,"
he ordered. The hairstylist froze, blinked.
"Please,"
he added without softening his tone. He wanted her to go away, leave him wrapped in the silken embrace of this woman.
"He's right," Gerald agreed, his camera already clicking away. "Look at me, Giovanna. Beautiful,"
he praised, closing in for several close-ups before easing away, still shooting.
"Got it. Perfect."
A slight tensing of her body telegraphed Giovanna's request to be lowered. For a moment, he tightened his hold on her, and above him she stilled, as if she sensed the frayed rope that was his control at the moment. Shit, what was wrong with him? After so long in the league, he should be used to beautiful women. Hell, he'd been around this particular woman before, and she hadn't elicited this damn near caveman reaction from him. Suddenly needing this shoot over, desperate for space, he set her gently on the floor. Her delicate fingers with their bright blue polish dented his skin as she clutched his shoulders for a second too long after he'd released her.
And fuck it, a goddamn Tibetan monk couldn't have barred the mental image of those same nails leaving marks on his sweat-dampened skin and flexing back as he drove into tight, hot, wet flesh. And God knew he wasn't a monk.
Shifting back a step, he placed that much-needed distance between them before he did something deranged and ludicrous, like throw her over his shoulder and christen one of these walls. "Can we try one more?" She turned to Gerald again, and Zeph ground his jaw, surprised he didn't breathe molar dust. Her last request damn near killed him. What now?
"You have this," Gerald waved. "Let's see what you got."
When she pivoted toward Zeph again, took a step toward him, he narrowed his eyes on her, suddenly wary. His muscles tightened, preparing themselves for her touch, for whatever she planned. She sank to her knees in front of him.
"Fuck."
No way in hell could he have halted the growl that rumbled in his chest and up his throat. Not with her lowering further into a pose that reminded him of Princess Leia at the feet of Jabba the Hutt. Except, she faced him, her mouth almost level with his cock. Jesus, if he closed his eyes, he could feel her breath on his flesh, even through the nylon of his pants. If God suddenly imbued him with the strength of Samson, Zeph still wouldn't have been able to control the blood pumping straight to his cock, filling it, hardening it. And when she tipped her head back, lifting her gaze to him, he glimpsed that knowledge in those chicory eyes, noted the gleam of arousal, fucking drowned in it. Unconsciously and without her permission, he threaded his fingers in the thick silk of her hair, gripping it, tugging it, tipping her head a little farther back. He caught the soft gasp of breath that escaped her parted lips, didn't miss the flutter of her lashes, or the runaway beating of her pulse within the shallow dip at the base of her throat.
"Damn,"
someone whispered. But Zeph didn't glance up, refused to free her from his regard. Even when Gerald's camera started firing away like the rapid pulses of a disco strobe light, holding the pose and staring down into her upturned face should have been uncomfortable. It had been in the past, but with every sense attuned to her, the delicate aroma of her perfume or shampoo teasing his nose, the stroke of her hair against the oversensitized skin of his hand and wrist, the searing press of her breast against his thigh. Discomfort didn't register. Just the greedy impulse to open his mouth over that fluttering pulse and set his tongue to it, set it racing harder. Only when the photographer instructed her to look at him did he allow her to move, but his hand remained tangled in her curls, the cave-dweller part of him he hadn't known existed, needing to remind her of his control, of who touched her, fucking claimed her. Gone was that gentleman he'd been raised to be. He'd been transformed into this primal being by a woman with sultry eyes, a sex-roughened voice, and a walking wet dream body. "I do believe we have everything we need," Gerald beamed at them, handing his camera to an assistant who rushed forward to take the piece of equipment. "Great shoot!" With a sharp nod, Zeph removed his hand from her and just checked himself from curling his fingers into a punishing fist to trap the silken sensation of her hair sliding over his skin. But in a fuck you to his resolve not to touch her again, he stretched an arm toward her, that gentleman surging to the forefront again. For a moment, she stared at his palm, then slid hers into his. The touch, wholly innocent, set him on fire. And when he tugged her gently to her feet, he didn't release her. "Have dinner with me," he said. Ordered. Shit. He hadn't meant to sound so abrasive, but somewhere between her walking onto the set of the photo shoot and her kneeling at his feet, lust had raised his manners to the goddamn ground. She stared up at him, her scrutiny roaming over his face, and for a long instant, settling on his mouth. Her gaze jerked back to meet his. "No." With one lingering survey of him from his beard to his damn bare toes, a survey that smacked of arousal and regret, she pivoted and walked away. He remained standing on the canvas, watching her disappear behind the white partition. What the hell just happened? Chapter 4.
"So I finish training for the day and get in my car. Just as I started, I see this shadow in my back seat. Turns out this chick bribed her way past security and onto the lot, and snuck into my car. Nearly scared the shit out of me."
Dominic Anderson shook his head, reaching for his beer on the low table. He, Zeph, and their three friends surrounded at Doyle's, a bar in Seattle's Pioneer Square that they all often frequented.
"Not literally, I hope,"
Zeph drawled, tipping his own beer for a long sip. A middle finger was Dom's only reply.
"You fucked her, didn't you?"
Ronan Palamo asked. The star wide receiver for the Warriors narrowed his gaze, propped his elbows on the arms of the chair he sat sprawled in.
"Of course not," Dom objected, outrage darkening his expression.
Zeph damn near rolled his eyes. The only thing missing was a hand clutching proverbial pearls. Dom had recently wrapped up a commercial for a new sneaker line, but his acting skills were hardly good enough to pull off righteously offended. With that movie star face, his money, and his career as the Warriors' quarterback, he wasn't a stranger to women throwing themselves at him. The man had to dodge pussy like he'd juke-step defense on an all-out blitz.
"She blew him."
Tennyson Clark bit into her burger after delivering that bit of insight, an eyebrow raised high. Not only was she Dom's personal assistant, but they had been best friends since they were kids. And when he'd been drafted out of Ohio State, she'd followed him to Seattle. She knew him better than anyone, and that included Zeph and Ronan, who'd played side by side with him these past 6 years.
"Don't talk with your mouth full," Dom snapped at her.
"That's what he said."
Renee Smith, a public relations consultant for the Warriors franchise, as well as friend to them all, grinned, wriggling her dark eyebrows like some mustache-twirling, top-hat-wearing cartoon villain.
"I said nothing happened,"
the quarterback ground out from between clenched teeth. Ronan snickered.
"She so blew him."
"Yeah,
She did. Renee crowed at the same time.
Give it up, bruh.
Zeph added with a shake of his head.
Fuckers.
Dom growled, glaring at all of them before turning the full power of it on Tennyson, who simply shrugged in return, totally unrepentant.
And you, snitches get stitches.
So, aside from Dom getting his dick sucked by some random... again, what else is going on? I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever. Once the season starts, I know it's only going to get worse, Renee lamented, reaching for the other half of Tennyson's burger, but receiving a pop on the hand before she could touch it. Ouch! Damn, she grumbled. Anyway, Zeph, wasn't your photo shoot for Sports Unlimited today?
Yeah,
he said, leaving it at that.
You might have said, yeah, but that tone was all get out of my shit,
Ronan laughed, leaning forward and propping his elbows on his thighs.
I talked to Jason earlier, and that asshole didn't mention anything. What happened?
For a moment, a pall hung over their small area, the lively din of the pub fading a little under the weight of the silence. Ronan winced, while Tennyson ducked her head, and a tick set up along the line of Dom's jaw. Jason Wilder, the last member of their tight circle, and Renee and Ronan had all grown up together in the Seattle area. But after Jason and Renee hooked up months ago, the friendship had imploded right after the sex ended. Now all of them resembled a fractured family more than a close-knit group. Due to the bitterness between the two, all of them hadn't been able to hang together in months. It was either Renee or Jason, but never the two together. Shit. Sometimes it seemed like they were caught in a custody battle.
Because there was nothing to tell,
Zeph said into the tense, awkward quiet.
It's not like it was the first time we worked together.
He narrowed his eyes on Ronan over the rim of his bottle.
I swear, bruh, you and gossip. Makes me want to check you for panties instead of shorts.
Ronan took a deep gulp of his Guinness and wiped the back of his hand across his mouth. And women still found him irresistible. Must be the lumberjack look with the long hair and full beard, 'cause it definitely couldn't be the manners.
Shows how much you know, Ronan said, jabbing his mug in Zeph's direction. I'm straight free balling it.
Oh, ew. Renee wrapped both hands around her throat, gagging.
Those aren't the jeans you borrowed and never gave back, are they?
Dom demanded, glaring at his friend.
Quarterback?
You wish you needed this much room, Ronan drawled. While I'm choosing to overlook your sexist remark about gossip and women, Tennyson interjected, her even tone like a cool, calm lake amidst the loud overlapping back and forth, I would like to point out that the lady under discussion is over at the bar, has been for the last hour. Zeph's head jerked up, and almost against his will, he searched the long length of the bar on the other side of the room, there, at the far end. That blue sky-tipped dark hair, coffee and cream skin, and vixen body were unmistakable. Giovanna Cruz. The bite of her rejection still prickled under his skin like the stinger of a bee, especially when he'd been so sure it had been attraction he'd read in her eyes, in her body. No, he wasn't the man whore Ronan and Dom were. But in the 10 years since he'd entered college, he'd had his fair share of women. He could easily decipher between pretending and real arousal. Even his ex, Shailene, who'd been after the fame of being a wag, had enjoyed the sex. Hell, in the sheets might have been the only place she hadn't lied. So, yeah, Giovanna had wanted him, but she'd still turned him down and walked away without a backward glance, leaving him trying to talk down a raging hard-on in nylon pants. A hard-on that had already risen to half-mast with just a brief sighting of her. Oh, sure, Renee said from beside him. I'm totally convinced nothing happened now. But he didn't reply to her smart-ass comment. Didn't even say bye to his friends. He was already on his feet, striding across the floor. Lust swirled through his veins, thick and hot. A voice whispered he was making a huge fucking mistake. All of his focus should be centered on the upcoming season and winning. Not to mention he'd been in this place before. Different woman, different face, but same situation. And he'd paid the price. It had made him wary of those who live their lives in the business. From his experience, fame was a narcotic that could never satisfy some people. So pursuing this thing with Giovanna, the up-and-coming cover model, could boomerang to bite him on the ass. Yet, he still continued to wind his way around tables and people with unerring accuracy. He was a guided missile locked on his target, and nothing was getting in his way. "Thanks." Sophia smiled at the bartender as the woman set a napkin and another lemon drop, her third, on the bar top in front of her.
Sweetie, you might want to slow down. Those things are delicious as hell, but they can sneak up on you. Last time I tangled with one, I ended up on the bathroom floor.
Delia, the hairstylist from the day's shoot, warned.
Oh, poo.
Mona, the makeup artist, flicked her fingers in the direction of the lemonade-flavored cocktail. Or, as Sophia liked to call it, shiny, happy feelings in a glass.
Remember? The tattoo? She's had man trouble. She deserves this. Drink up, honey.
Instead of disabusing Mona of her assumption about Sophia's reason for her ink, she took a long, deep sip of the alcohol and hummed at the cold, lemony goodness as it slid down her throat. Damn, that was good. When the two women had invited her out after the shoot, Sophia had almost turned them down. Pretending to be her model twin had been exhausting, and the reasonable part of her asserted that the longer she continued the charade, the bigger the chance of slipping and blowing her cover. But the side that quietly enjoyed the attention she'd received today, the side she didn't need a therapist to tell her was firmly rooted in that 16-year-old high school girl, had jumped at the opportunity. For a night, a Thursday night at that, she would hang with new friends, laugh, have fun. They'd already introduced her to lemon drops, and if the women thought they were hanging with, not Sophia, well, she'd try and forget that for the next few hours.
We should so find you a man. The best way to get over one is to get under another,
Delia said, running a fingertip around her sugar-rimmed glass.
This bar is a popular place. All the local celebrities come here, including...
She gave a full-body shiver as she sucked her fingertip into her mouth.
Football players.
Yeah,
Mona sighed.
Those huge bodies, tight abs, big ol' thighs, and...
hands,
she snickered. Then, without warning, she seized both Delia and Sophia by the wrists.
Oh, shit. Look who's sitting over there by the back window.
When they went to turn on their bar stools, her grip tightened.
Don't be so obvious,
she hissed.
Nice and slow. It's Dominic Anderson and Ronan Palamo.
A wicked smile curved her purple-tinted lips.
And your guy, Zephyrin Black.
The light buzz from the cocktails she'd inhaled evaporated like fizz in a flat soda. A gale of roughly 100 miles per hour whipped and roared between her ears, her heart adding the bass of thunder. Zephyrin, here? In the same bar? Feet away? Oh, shit. Earlier, she'd refused his dinner invitation, but that had been a matter of self-preservation. During the photo shoot, the hot sex on a platter football player had shaken her, rendered her damn near speechless and definitely thoughtless. And for someone who had a cover story to maintain, that blared danger. He blared danger.
Big neon red, don't fucking try it, danger.
Delia and Mona were one thing, but holding her own alone with Zephyrin, with those eagle eyes focused on her for several hours?
Yeah.
She didn't trust herself. She'd been right to turn him down, to walk away, end it so she didn't burrow deeper into a lie. Now if only her nipples and vajayjay would just get the notice, she could return to her night of drinking. Any minute now.
Holy shit! Seth's headed this way!
Delia squealed, twisting back around on her bar stool, eyes wide.
Oh, Jesus. I can get pregnant just from hearing that man talk.
Taking a huge gulp of her margarita, she fluttered a hand next to her face. While the other two women pretended to not see the huge mountain of man flesh striding their way, Sophia couldn't tear her gaze off of him. She couldn't look away from the stare that seemed to pin her to the backless seat. Zephyrin Black. Even his name was sexy as hell. 28 years old, 6 feet 6 inches, 283 pounds, hailed from New Orleans, Louisiana. Attended Louisiana State University, where he'd been a star tight end for the Tigers all 4 years, and was key in leading them to 2 SEC championships. Graduated with a bachelor's in finance, and drafted to the Seattle Warriors 6 years ago. All-pro every year. Offensive MVP once. Wikipedia was a wonderful thing, but it hadn't mentioned diddly about his size possessing the size and strength of tree trunks, or that when he lifted a woman, his hands easily spanned her waist and made her feel like a Sherman tank could be headed straight for her, and she'd still have no fear of being harmed. Or that under the hot gleam of lights, his skin resonated an intoxicating, sensual musk of sunshine and sex. Nope. Epic fail, Wikipedia. Maybe if her brain stopped insisting on replaying moments from the photo shoot, then she could do something other than gawk, like a completely starstruck groupie. Like, if she could forget the greedy need that had ripped through her when she knelt at his feet, her mouth inches from the "surely those are socks in there" bulge, straining against the laces of his football pants. Or if she could somehow erase the slight but delicious sting of her scalp when he'd tugged on her hair, tilting her head back, as if positioning her for... Christ! She picked up her glass and, following Delia's lead, sipped long and deep. Liquid courage was a must. Seconds slowed to the pace of years, but eventually he approached, stopping directly in front of her. His eyes appeared even more piercing under the dim bar lighting, the green almost eclipsed by the gold. Everything in her vibrated and hummed. The light purple tank top and flowing white skirt she'd worn had seemed adequate for a night out, but under his perusal, she felt stripped, naked. "Ladies," Zephyrin greeted all of them, even though he never removed his stare from her. Mona and Delia's voices tripped over one another as they replied, their giddiness and pleasure a palpable thing. "Would you two mind if I spoke with Giovanna for a moment?" He dipped his chin in the direction from where he'd come. "I'll switch places with you." She wouldn't have been surprised if a cloud of exhaust had plumed behind her newfound friends as they abandoned her to zoom across the room and socialize with Zephyrin's circle. Son of a bitch. Hadn't they ever heard of bros before hoes? Or however that would go with women? Chicks before dicks? That's what it was. Giovanna. The aforementioned pregnancy-inducing drawl caressed her name. Or rather, her twin's name, as he lowered onto the nearest stool. "It's nice seeing you again."
"You too," she said, swigging down more of the cocktail.
"You okay?"
he asked, leaning a bent elbow on the bar top. The move brought him a scant inch closer, forcing her to imbibe even more.
"Sure.
Why do you ask?" A beat of silence.
"Because you're sucking down that drink like it's about to run away screaming."
The snicker escaped her before she could trap it, the crackling dry tone and joking unexpected. He'd done the same, caught her off guard, when he'd unexpectedly teased her during the shoot. Even now, he seems so intense, stoic, and his demeanor had her caught between a nervous urge to babble and a need to, hell, just a need.
"Here you go," the bartender appeared, setting a tall glass down in front of Sophia, even though she hadn't ordered another.
Oh well, hers was just about halfway gone, so yay, more alcohol.
"How about you, Mr. Black?"
she fairly purred, crossing her arms on the bar, leaning over and placing her admittedly impressive cleavage on full display.
"Can I get you something?"
"Something,"
not being anything on the menu. Unless they'd suddenly added pussy al dente on the entree list. Wow. Sophia peered down into her glass. Alcohol must bring out